Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another Sunday morning on this Memorial Day weekend. And this morning, it's a beautiful spring day. So much going on in our world in this moment. And I was reminded this morning as I began to consider my own meditation and then Memorial Day and just what that means. And a lot of times we think of Memorial Day from a place of, veterans of wars, and that's certainly a part of it. And now we have some new casualties in our current world situation. And so those are more current things that are happening, lives that we can remember, beings that are no longer here with us on planet Earth, but yet that still remain in our hearts. And so with this, let's move towards a meditation. And I want to invite you into that place within of perfect stillness. And some of us are practiced in finding this place of stillness right away. And others of us are in progress of learning how to find that stillness within. What many teachers call practicing the presence of God. So please, as you begin to get comfortable in your meditation, wherever you are, let's do together that sacred thing of coming into the breath first. We just simply become aware of our breath. And that is to say that we become aware of the life flowing through us. Now, our breath, like the wind, is this great mystery that's with us every day. We don't quite know where it comes from. We just know that we need it to live. And so let this breath move you now into your heart. And let your heart become the full focus of your being in this moment. As you move into a place of pure awareness. We let the body go for now, but with loving kindness. And we begin to see that our physical bodies, no matter in what condition, are this profound gift through which we get to experience life together. In this way, we are seemingly separate beings, yet deeply interconnected. And so now, as you lovingly surrender your body, come into pure, loving awareness. And from here, we begin to connect with the soul of the world itself. And in this, the memories that we hold of those that have passed, of those who have left their bodies permanently, we find here that they are not gone at all, but fully alive in the soul of the world itself. And in the memory of this, the knowingness within us, we connect to all races, all ancestors, and all life. So that not just are we remembering today the souls of those who have fought in recent wars or who have passed in some other way. But we begin to connect to the life that has lived on this planet for seemingly thousands and thousands and thousands of years. It is not separate from us. It is not gone, but it lives in that beautiful, ethereal kingdom of God. So when we practice the presence of God, it is not practicing nothing. It is practicing everything. This is not scary or frightening. It is pure and holy. You are the presence of God. So as we take a minute, or maybe even 2 minutes, a timeless eternity, really, in the silence, we go with one simple mantra: I am the presence of God. And so as we come out of this meditative time, I invite you to place your hands on your heart, one on top of the other, and just hold yourself for a moment. Feel the life trembling, moving in your body. And find just one thing to be grateful for, something that you have seen or felt or heard recently that you're profoundly grateful for. And feel into that. And this gratitude is one of the greatest gifts that you can give to the world. And so to all the souls who have lived and died, who have lost and won, who have wondered and then found on this Memorial Day, we give thanks to all. And so it is. Amen. And we can come back to the space if you're ready. And what space that is, I don't know. You're probably in your living rooms or your bedrooms, or some people might be doing church in bed, I don't know. But however it is, welcome, welcome. And we're so happy you're here. In our sanctuary, it's very bright, especially after I opened my eyes from meditation and the sun is pouring in through the windows, and a bunch of bright souls are here today. Well, five anyway. And so from Everett Unity, we welcome you and thank you for joining us. What to talk about? I don't know. I've been pondering this term. It's been coming my way. Declaration of sovereignty. It means so much in so many different ways. And I guess I could encapsulate it in a little story that happened to me this morning. More and more as I put talks together or whatever, I realized that I could write something down during the week, but really, by the time this morning comes, it's old news. And so what I really want to talk to you about on Sunday morning is what's going on in my heart and my soul. Everything else feels fairly inauthentic. So this morning I was on my back porch and I was having my little morning drink and getting ready to read something spiritual as I normally do. And there's this Japanese maple down in our backyard who just recently came into our backyard. I found her in the front yard when I was cleaning up the other day. She was buried underneath these junipers, and I'd never seen her before in the years we've lived there. And she kind of said, "Help me. I'm being eaten alive by these trees." Her little branches were reaching under the juniper so she could grab some sun. And so I cleared a place in the back garden, and Jenny and I dug up this Japanese maple, and she's pretty tattered. And so we dug a hole in the backyard and put some nice soil in there and some nutrients, and we loved her up. And we even did a blessing song with her, planted her in the ground, and named her Julia. So we have Julia the Japanese maple, and as we kept working, we had some primroses that we planted around her. Some are yellow, and there's a royal blue. There's a yellow one. There's a velvet red. And then there's one guy who won't bloom yet, so we don't know what color he is, but... So anyway, there's this new garden there, and Julia is not looking too good. She's pretty in shock still. Next year, she'll be better. But we love that tree, and I said the other day, "Julia looks pretty banged up," and Jenny said, "Oh, no, she's beautiful." And so that's only part of the story. This morning, as I'm sitting there, the sun's beaming down through the backyard, and this bird comes, and I see it flying through the sun, and it lands, and it's a blue jay. And this blue jay lands right next to Julia, and the sun is shining just on that part of the garden. And it lights up this blue jay's feathers, and it's the most brilliant blue. And I just got moved. I think I wore this shirt to kind of honor the blue jay today. Anyway, the head of that blue jay I noticed is kind of maybe dark blue or black or a different color. And I just watched that bird in the sun, and I could feel Julia's roots taking hold in the earth. And I thought, this is awesome to be alive and experience this. And so I started to talk with a blue jay, and I don't speak very fluent blue jay, so I don't know what I was whistling, if this bird understood or not, but we had some kind of a communication, and then he flew again off, and I sat there for a long time, and I thought, this is enough. This has made my whole life worth living, you know? And that's a certain kind of a declaration of sovereignty that I make for myself. And then even again, I was walking on the trail later on this morning, just a little while ago, and as I was walking, there was a rustling in the grass, and it was a little tiny baby bunny. And he was about 3 feet away from me, but he didn't run off, and I stopped and looked at him. You know, his eyes looked gigantic in this little tiny bunny body. And I could probably hold him just in my hand like this. And I stood there for quite a while, 30 seconds or a minute. That's a long time with a bunny. And he looked up at me, and I looked down at him. And I thought again, this is just like the blue jay, but different. Through all of life and all of the things we ever do, there's nothing like the moment that we're in now. And so why would I live my life doing something that doesn't absolutely light me up? And I ask that question not just for myself, but there's a whole world asking the same question. What are we doing? So this declaration of sovereignty is a term that's been coming through a sort of emerging spiritual way of living where people are saying, wait a minute, I am a sovereign being. In other words, I actually wrote the definition of sovereignty down, just pulled from the dictionary, supreme power or authority, the authority of a state to govern itself. So I thought about that, and with states of, like in the governmental structure, there's states where we're told what to do, and then there's my state of being, and I have sovereignty over that state of being. It doesn't always seem like it. And so I started thinking about this. Declaration. What is a declaration? Well, lucky for you, I wrote down that definition too. A formal or explicit statement or announcement. A formal statement. So I got to thinking about this, and I realized that my declaration, what I say is my life and my world, how I choose to live, is much like what we call affirmation. But it's also much like what we call denial. In my declaration, I both affirm and deny. I affirm what I'm going to experience, and I affirm what I'm not going to do. That's a powerful thing, a declaration. And then a declaration of sovereignty, you can see, is a very powerful thing to do. And when we think about that from our third dimensional world of bodies and limitations and rules and laws, it can get very, I can't do that. You see, I don't have what it takes. I don't have enough of this. I don't have enough of that. But you see, you and I, we have a rich father and a gracious mother. And our parents, our divine parents, the divine mother, father, God, always wants to give us the kingdom. Just like the Daily Word today talked about it beautifully. But it is us who must declare our sovereignty, that I am a child of God. Isn't it really what Myrtle Fillmore did? And when we talk about Myrtle Fillmore, please don't let it upset you if you haven't been able to bring, you know, healing to your physical body. That's not what this is about. This is about divine sovereignty. This is about claiming our birthright in the context of our meditation, that I'm connected to all of life, that that blue jay and that bunny are not separate from me, and that I have the right as a child of God to sit and enjoy that and let that be enough. I think about a friend who comes to Course in Miracles, or at least, you know, when we were having our meetings. His name's Tone, and a lot of you guys know Tone, and he always told this story that really lit me up. And I loved hearing it. He's told that story 15 times in my presence at least. And he said that when he moved here, he was still running around all over the place and trying to conquer the world like a lot of us do. I know exactly what he's talking about. You know, got to run to work, got to run here, got to run there, got to get. And somebody told him, I can't remember who, he was complaining about it. And somebody said, well, you don't have to do that. And he said, what? I don't have to do that. He said, no, you just don't have to do that. He said, oh, okay, thank you. And he stopped doing that. And I think that's so funny that you could just stop doing something. You know, it's like that thing about, you know, the peanut butter and jelly sandwich and the worker, you know, and he comes to work every day. He's a construction guy. And at lunchtime, they all sit down and he goes, opens up his lunchbox on Monday and he says, peanut butter and jelly, that's so cool. And he eats his sandwich. And then Tuesday comes, he says, peanut butter and jelly, all right. And he eats it. Pretty soon as the week goes on, Friday comes and he opens up his lunchbox and he says, peanut butter and jelly, who packed my lunch? And his buddy says, you pack your own lunch. And that's what Tone showed me. You know, that we can absolutely put a different sandwich in our lunch pail. We can change our life and become something else. What? Well, that's the great gift of being a sovereign being, a spiritual being having a human experience, is you get to choose your life. Paramahansa Yogananda said, life and death are but a passing from dream to dream. They are only thoughts. You are dreaming you are alive, and you are dreaming you are dead. When you get into the great Christ consciousness, you see that life and death are dreams of God. He goes on and says that that's why Jesus said, go ahead, kill me, and in 3 days I'll raise this temple up, this body. Because Jesus has entered into the soul of the world itself. That's what Christ consciousness is. We begin to see that we are absolutely an intricate part of creation. And therefore, we inherit the kingdom of heaven. That is, everything in the universe is ours for the using. Charles Fillmore said that. He said, our job is to use God. Some people didn't like that so much. So he says that, Yogananda says about Jesus, he knew he could transform the dream of death into a dream of life, even as God can. When I always like to try to make these things practical, because sometimes they can sound so dang airy-fairy, you know, like a cosmic consciousness. It sounds so airy-fairy until you experience it. And then it becomes a reality in which we can live. And so I remember not too many years back, I had a little shop that I rented to do my business out of fixing cars. And there was this, it was coming into summer, much like it is now, and I didn't want to work. But I thought, well, I got to make money and pay the dang bills. But I had a book that I really liked, and I wanted to read it. And I have rollerblades, I still do, and I love those things because I get to skate along the trail with the wind blowing on me and watch the river. And I wanted to rollerblade. And there was naps to take in the warm afternoon breeze, and I wanted to take naps. I didn't want to sand Bondo and spray paint cars. So I said to the universe, universe, I would like to play. Please shut off the work. So the phone quit ringing. And I locked my little shop door, and I went away for the summer. I was close, but I didn't go to that shop. And so all summer long I played. And I read, and I napped, and I contemplated God. And then a little while later, I noticed that my bank account had run pretty low. And I said, universe, I need to work again. Okay, I'll go back to the shop. And I literally, this happened to me. I went to my shop, and I put the key in the door, and the phone rang. And I answered it, and somebody said, hi, Kevin, I've got some damage on my car. Could you fix it? And I said, why, yes, I can. And it gave me just enough. Did I get rich from it? No. But I had everything I needed, and I had a magnificent summer playing. I declared my sovereignty in that moment. And sometimes, as we go along, we have days and weeks and months and even years of living as that free human being in full authoritative responsibility of our own lives. And then something comes along and we get a little off track. And so what's the solution? Well, you don't have to do that anymore. And it's okay to change your life, to change your mind about what you're doing. Always that's okay. So there's one other thing that I brought today. And it's from this little wisdom book called the Tao Te Ching. And the Tao Te Ching, many people know it. And it roughly translates to the Great Way. And the great way is often called the flow, the spiritual flow of life. And this Tao Te Ching is a bunch of little verses that has changed many people's lives. And there's some pretty tough teachings in there because it goes in the face of everything we've come to be as a world controlled by governments. I don't think that governments are essentially bad, but I much more trust my innate nature and yours to structures that somebody else tells me that I'm going to live inside. I say no because I declare my sovereignty. So I'm just going to read this verse to you. I'm not going to explain it a whole bunch because it means what it means to you. So in the 57th verse of the Tao Te Ching, it says, if you want to be a great leader, you must learn to follow the Tao. Stop trying to control. Let go of fixed plans and concepts, and the world will govern itself. The more prohibitions you have, the less virtuous people will be. The more weapons you have, the less secure people will be. The more subsidies you have, the less self-reliant people will be. Therefore, the master says, I let go of the law, and people become honest. I let go of economics, and the people become prosperous. I let go of religion, and people become serene. I let go of all desire for the common good, and the good becomes common as grass. Do you trust your inner nature? And what would it take to align with it for you? What do you choose for your life? And what do you declare is yours? And then back to this whole Memorial Day thing. I know it's not Memorial Day today, but like birthdays as you get older, we sort of celebrate those around that time. And so we think about that, of all the people who have greatly inspired us. I know the people who have greatly inspired me have done something extraordinary. Many of them without the use of their physical bodies. And I've been thinking about Betty Addison. How much did she give to us from the confines of what had happened to her after her stroke? But she was not confined at all. How bright her spirit shone, and still does. And I think about people that have overcome great obstacles. We talked about Helen Keller, who had all kinds of physical limitations. And she said, hey man, life's either a daring adventure or nothing at all. When we go inside into that silence, that secret place within, what they call the secret place of the Most High, you close your eyes, and the beautiful world that we live in, as beautiful as it is, disappears. And we realize that we are dreaming the dream. And what a beautiful thing it is. So I say, fellow travelers, dream on and dream well. Thank you.